We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome into the CHGO White Sox postgame show, coming to you live from Studio B of our CHGO offices here in the West Loop of Chicago. I'm your host, Sean Anderson. Alongside me, the CHGO White Sox community leader, Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him at EchoWall23. You can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson. We'll be joined from Guaranteed Rate Field by our CHGO White Sox beat writer, Vinny Duber. You can follow the show at CHGO_White Sox. Hit the thumbs up button. Hit the subscribe button. We just wrapped up a CHGO, not we, but CHGO Sports, using we as a team.
Yep.
CHGO Sports just wrapped up a CHGO Sky and WNBA draft special. So if you are looking for some Sky coverage, we got you here at CHGO Sports. If you're new here, hit that subscribe button. We are joining you after a very familiar feeling, a White Sox loss. And you might be asking to yourself, do the White Sox have more shutout losses or victories, just straight up victories? And it's actually three times the amount of shutout losses than victories. Two wins in 2024, six shutouts.
Hi, Herb. Hi.
Sox lose 2-0.
Oh, yeah. Original refrain. We keep on hearing about this. The White Sox don't score any runs. Actually get quality pitching today, and I like that they're losing quickly. A 2-hour and 17-minute game is how you got to do it, White Sox. Thank you very much for losing quickly and being bad as it can be. But yeah, this thing is going downhill really fast. You know, they started the season with a 4-game losing streak. Then they won versus the Braves. Then they had a 5-game losing streak. Then they won versus Cleveland. They're currently on a 5-game winning or losing streak again. So they're due for another loss tomorrow and then a victory on Wednesday to just stair-step those losing streaks to 4, 5, and 6, and then we'll continue to go into 7 after that.
A factorial, you know, for the math people out there.
Absolutely, Joey. Yes. The University of Texas teaching you factorials. I don't think I introduced you. Hi, Joey Spathis.
Hi, Sean Anderson.
Joey Spathis is our producer, everybody, teaching you about factorials, and maybe he'll tell you about his dear Aunt Sally as well. We'll get mathematical
her.
Here.
Excuse her now.
Okay. Hit that thumbs up button, but... Yeah, I don't know what else to say. I mean, we brought up that they scored, 34 runs in their first 15 games. I think if I could do my math correctly, they've scored 34 runs in 16 games. A lot of teams have done that because not a lot of teams are this bad. Do you think they'll have a winning streak at any point? I mean, they have to. At least 2 games.
A winning streak is 2 games.
I'll be nice to them. I'll say it's 2 games. At some point, they have to win 2 in a row.
Do they?
By luck or by chance?
I mean,
by hook or by crook.
We were talking about the Sky Show, and the host of that, Chris Bennett, we're looking at the schedule. It's like, when are they going to get their 10th victory of the year? And I'm looking at the teams, like, all these teams are better than the White Sox. Every single one of them. And to win baseball games, you have to score runs. And in 6 of the 16 games that they've played, they've scored 0 runs. So those games, they lost, all of them, easily. I don't know when they're going to have this resurgence of offense. They've done 5, 7, and 6 runs this year on random times, but it's usually sporadic. It's usually early and then none late, or late and then none early. So I don't know. They're playing these teams right here. The Kansas City Royals, who have a good pitching staff that go deep into the game as their starting pitchers for two more games. Then they go on the road to the Phillies. Now, I don't know how good the Phillies staff is. They do have good people with Nola and Wheeler at the top. But I know that hitting is going to be great. They're going to crush the White Sox. That might be some 10-0, 11-0, 11-3 victories by the Philadelphia Phillies. So I don't see on the schedule where they can just pair two together wins because they don't have the hitting. The pitching has been otherwise fine.
Knowing the White Sox, they will somehow sweep the Los Angeles Dodgers. I think that's what's coming, right? They won't win a series except for when the Dodgers come to town. Like, that's just peak baseball hilarity. The worst team in baseball demolishes the best team in baseball.
I mean, don't their only two wins come against people who are currently leading their divisions? Yeah, the Cleveland Guardians, 11-5. They're one of their victories. And then 9-5, Atlanta Braves.
So there you go.
White Sox are out here. Let's see.
The White Sox just want to make sure
Milwaukee.
Quality. Yeah,
you're in trouble, Dodgers.
Watch out, Yankees.
Texas and Yankees.
Hate to say it. Watch out, Astros.
You're fucked.
We're coming for you. anyways, White Sox gets shut out for their sixth time. We'll be joined by Vinny Duber a little bit later. We're going to talk about Aloy Jimenez as well. We got a clip from Aloy. He spoke pregame after being activated off the injured list. We'll talk about Nick Nastrini's MLB debut. We'll talk about Jonathan Cannon's debut tomorrow. We also have a team meeting that was mentioned by Pedro Grifol before the game today, and we'll talk about the effect that that clearly had on the team, and maybe we'll even get to some Tommy Pham. But first off, we didn't mention this on the pregame show, and I think we should mention it because it is Jackie Robinson Day. It's also tax day. So if you ever remember that it's tax day, you can also remember that it's Jackie Robinson Day. If you remember it's Jackie Robinson Day, you can remember it's tax day. But everyone was wearing 42 today. Very important to bring up Jackie Robinson and mention him, not only because the percentage of black Major League Baseball players is decreasing year by year, but also you just see what happens in Wichita, Kansas earlier in January, where a Jackie Robinson statue outside of a Jackie Robinson field is being sawed off at the cleats and then burned in a trash can. So if you think that this is stuff from, you know, the 1940s and we're way past this, you're wrong. And I think it's extremely important that the White Sox, or not the White Sox, but that Major League Baseball keeps doing this. And it's great to see Jackie's legacy live on.
Yeah. And in New York, where the Mets were playing today, it looked like they're honoring Rachel Robinson, his widow, who I think is 101 years old today. Damn. Or not today, but she's 101 years old. And yeah, it's always important to mention and keep the legacy of Jackie Robinson alive as the first baseball player to break the color barrier. There's been black players and allegedly before that, but then they had a stop to that after a while, and then Jackie reintroduced black players into this game, black American players, and that's what the number has gone down as today. The White Sox and the Cubs, for the first time in a long time, neither of the team has an African-American player on their roster now. The White Sox were reportedly signing Tommy Pham, who is, I think, half black and half Vietnamese, to their roster. So that would kind of, you know, solve that problem. But the participation in black spaces in America is really going down. And so the initiative of one of the things that Jerry Reinsdorf and his crew does well is with the initiatives of RBI and all the other things they do to encourage inner city baseball playing, and you've seen people from these programs that the White Sox have initiated go on to be Major League baseball players. And so it's very important to increase the knowledge of what Jackie Robinson was and what he is, and also move forward in African-American participation in baseball, because you can't be losing them to other sports. And this is the Jackie and his compatriots at the time fought so hard to even play baseball, and now the fact that there's not a lot of participation. It's kind of sad to me as a person that played baseball as a youngster.
Absolutely. Hopefully those opportunities are made easier for communities, and hopefully, again, more teams take up after the White Sox. I know that's not easy to say, but hey, it'd be great to see more ACE programs around Major League Baseball. And my guy, Ed Howard, even though he's a Cub, proud a Southsider over there. So hopefully, I know he's been struggling a little bit in low A, but maybe, just maybe, we'll see some White Sox ACE program players.
Also, Corey Ray, who got drafted by the Brewers a couple years ago. I don't think he's made the majors yet, but, you know, you're getting people who, I don't know, otherwise wouldn't have the opportunity, but exposure, travel, equipment, baseball is expensive, as we all know if you've played it.
Corey Lee did make it up to the majors in 2021. So there you go.
Corey Ray. Sorry.
What did I say?
You said Corey Lee. That's right.
Oh, I'm thinking of my guy. You're right. Corey Ray. Corey Ray had one game up in Milwaukee. So, I mean, at least it's a really cool program the White Sox are doing, and it is great to at least see Jackie's legacy live on. But obviously, we do need to see more inclusion of Black Americans. All right, let's take a break, and then we will jump into some Aloy stuff. We'll talk about Nick Nastrini, and later on, we will be joined by Tommy Pham. DJ Gladney, I don't think, has made it up to the majors, but yes, I think DJ is also a part or was a part of that program.
Yep.
All right, let's let you know about our friends over at Ray Chevy. Our friends over at Ray Chevy are always going to be taking care of you if you are in the market for a brand new vehicle. If you are driving home, drive home a winner this April after visiting our partner, Ray Chevrolet. They're sharing their best offers of the year. Make your way to Ray Chevrolet on Route 12 in Fox Lake to join in on the savings. As one of the top-selling Chevy dealers in the Midwest, you'll always be able to shop one of Chicagoland's largest Chevy inventories. Plus, you can find the perfect tailgating vehicle for a limited time only. They're offering 0% financing for 72 months on new Silverados with over 100 available. And to top it all off, they're pricing over 125 vehicles under $20,000. Pricing cannot get more affordable, except if you go to Ray and get the free oil change that they're offering in Fox Lake when you mention CHGO. A free oil change. All you need to do is mention CHGO when scheduling your oil change. Start off the new year right and schedule it by April 30th. Visit Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake or RayChevrolet.com. They've been serving the community since 1963. Find new routes.
What is Prize Picks?
Prize Picks. What is Prize Picks?
It's the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. They are the easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. It's just you versus the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Football season might be over, but the floor, the heat, the action on the floor is heating up with playoffs starting on Wednesday with the Bulls doing the play-in with the Atlanta Hawks. So there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of the year. Get in all the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. And if you've been following me, Wednesday is the culmination of this Prize Picks pick for me. Been playing Prize Picks for a minute, and Wednesday, the play-in game, Chicago Bulls, Atlanta Hawks here at the United Center. Ayo Dosunmu, points, rebounds, and assists. I like to go more than. And then when he plays Trae Young, I like to have Trae Young, points, rebounds, and assists, less than, because Ayo locks him up, puts him in prison every time he plays him. But what?
Hurt.
Huh?
He's been hurt.
Yes, he's fine.
Ayo or Trae Young?
Ayo. But he's been sitting out the last couple days just to get ready to dominate Trae on Wednesday.
And apparently Trae Young's in prison.
Yes, Big Dave likes to call Io the warden.
Oh.
Because he puts Trae Young in prison.
Every time. But this is what you should do right now. Go to prizepicks.com/CHGO and use the code CHGO for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/CHGO and use the code CHGO. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Thank you, Herb. Let's hear a little bit from Aloy Jimenez. He was activated off the 10-day injured list today, and we saw him in the ninth inning after Gavin Sheets was hit in the foot at an at-bat. Gavin goes to first base. Aloy comes in and pinch hits for Lenin Sosa. Let's first hear from Aloy about how he is doing.
I feel really good right now. I feel excited, and that's all I can tell right now.
How close to 100% would you say you are right now?
I'm close, but I don't have any number right now. I feel really good. I feel I can play like this and help the team.
Did they talk to you about an injury rehab assignment, or did you feel with how you felt now you could help immediately pretty much?
I feel what I can what I can have right now, I can help the team, so to me it's fine.
If it's a slow chopper today, will you feel like you'll take it easy, or do you want to... You feel like you're ready to go and then spread full out if you need to?
I don't know. I don't like to say that I'm not gonna do it, because at the end of the day, I try to hustle, I try to play hard every single day. So to me, saying it is like I gonna take it easy. It's like, did I really wanna take it easy on that, or really I really wanna keep hustling and keep pushing, you know? But right now I don't have like a concrete answer to that question.
It's not a concrete answer, and it's not an answer that makes sense. Again, Aloy said, I don't know when asked if he'll run max effort to first base. I don't like to say that I'm not going to do it because at the end of the day, I try to hustle. I try to play hard every single day. To me, saying I'm going to take it easy, did I really want to take it easy, or did I really want to keep hustling and keep pushing? But right now, I don't have a concrete answer to that question. I think the biggest thing that I'm taking away from this Aloy Jimenez stuff, the fact that he is getting pinch hit when the White Sox need two runs, and maybe, just maybe, he'll provide the home run pop that he needs so he can gallop around the bases rather than sprint, is that he's not healthy. Is that the White Sox, or it seemed like yesterday after talking to Vinny Duber, it seemed like what was best for Aloy Jimenez was a rehab stint. And I thought that might have been their first plan with Aloy was, hey, let's send him down to AAA and see how he can produce, and at least let's get him back up to speed. And that let's get him back up to speed in a 2-0 ball game with two outs, the game on the line, going in against a reliever throwing 95. What a way to just throw that guy into the water. I mean, that's like me going into the ag school when I was 3 years old and just getting chucked into the deep end. Why do you think I'm afraid?
That happened?
Yeah, why do you think I'm afraid of water?
God, that's old school right there. Just like, threw you in the water. Are you cognizant of that when you're three? Do you remember that dramatic?
Vividly.
Okay. Oh my
and
God.
And Aloy Jimenez is probably traumatized like I was.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's scary as hell. Yeah. Water's no joke. I'm sorry that happened to you, Sean. But yes,
I live to tell the tale.
I mean, still traumatizing though. Aloy Jimenez.
I think I made it up. Who knows?
He himself is not at fault for this. The White Sox are at fault for this. Because they continue doing this dumbass thing of having people rehab at the major league level. You have minor league systems. He can be sent down to Charlotte and get the at-bats you want him to get and then work out his problems with his adductor. This is the same dumbass philosophy the White Sox have been running the last couple years to no success, where Aloy continues to get hurt. Yoan continues to get hurt, and the same thing with Luis Robert Jr. And so I would love for this team to just do something different to get the players as healthy as they can be. As you heard his answer in that whole clip, he's like, are you 100%? He's like, I'm not going to give you a number. You don't play him until he's 100% at the major league level. You send him down to the minor leagues, and however long it takes for him to look like Aloy again, that's when you call him up. I know there's a limit of how many games he can be down there. I think 2 weeks for a rehab assignment. But bring him back up after he's healthy. Not, oh yeah, he's graduated from the 10-day IL. Now's the time to pick him off the IL and play him in the ninth inning. Like you said, Sean, versus a guy who's throwing that hard, that fast, and got the first two guys this inning easy as hell. So the White Sox continue to do dumbass moves, and when Aloy is eventually hurt in a couple weeks, and I'm not putting this on him, we just know that this is the White Sox thing. They don't get people as healthy as they can be, and that's why they continue to be hurt. They'll say the same thing. They'll be like, well, you know, Aloy did this, that, the other, instead of doing the right thing by Aloy by sending him down to Charlotte, sending him down to Birmingham to get in the at-bats, getting his legs right, and so when he's coming up to the major leagues, he can hit the ground running and be the guy that they want him to be.
And let me read this before Vinny. Let me read this from Vinny before we get a little bit too far away, because I am pretty upset with the White Sox activating Aloy. Vinny did tweet out that Grifol said the White Sox are giving consideration to the idea of either Aloy or Gavin Sheets playing the field to get both bats in the lineup. Doing so with Sheets sounds far more likely, with Grifol saying Aloy would only do so after being back from the IL for a while. So at least they're going to give him a chance to come back, get up to 100%, and then go extraneously work out his body in a situation where he's been hurt before. And like Curtis Conover saying, wonder if they can get rid of Benintendi in a $17 million contract. It's $17 million this year. It's $16.5 next year. It's $16.5 million the year after that. And then it's $14.5 million. It's 68-something that they still have left to eat of Andrew Benintendi. So no, Benintendi's going to be playing left field. And if anything, they're going to have Aloy play a more difficult position in right field. So I don't understand what the plan is for the Chicago White Sox and Aloy Jimenez, and it's just painful to watch because you know that he's not 100%, and you can tell from his answers there. I don't think that's because English is a second language. I don't think he's misspeaking. I think that the player likely wanted, and this is just me thinking, this is just me, you know, opining here. This is not sourced or anything. It does not feel like Eloy Jimenez thinks that he's 100% ready to be back in the field, and he shouldn't be playing, period. It's stupid from the organization.
Yeah, and this is the White Sox MO. They keep on doing dumbass things, never learning from it because there's no accountability for anybody in that whole building except for Kenny and Rick last year, but that took 20 years to happen. So Chris will have at least 20 more years of messing up and doing the same old thing until he actually gets accountable and gets fired.
Yes. We will be chatting to Vinny Duber soon. He's got some Nick Nastrini video to share with us. We'll get to some Nastrini in a second. There was a team meeting that we're going to chat to Vinny about as well. And before we get into all that important stuff, why don't I go on a little rant here, okay? Okay. Do you know A.J. Pierzynski, Herb?
I do know Anthony John Pierzynski.
Oh, what was he famous for?
He was famous for the running on the drop third strike in the ALDS or ALCS back in 2005.
Being a member of the 2005 World Series championship team, I think at some point being on TNA Wrestling.
He was.
Which is very cool. And now he is opining on foul territory. And AJ Pierzynski, you don't know ball. I hate to break it to you, sir, but AJ had a clip sharing that he's no longer a White Sox team employee. And if you go and look at the Chris Getz interview that he had, I think that might be Chris Getz's call, because there's no way that AJ Pierzynski is going to go on a rant on foul territory for a minute about the White Sox lack of player development if he wasn't screwed over by Chris Getz and the guy that he was trying to aimly direct his anger towards. What's the one name he didn't bring up in there?
Jerry Reinsdorf,
the guy who made the hire of Chris Getz. So if you're going to say it with your chest, AJ Pierzynski, Anthony John Pierzynski, say the names Jerry Reinsdorf. You brought up Colson Montgomery and his struggles at AAA, which are bullshit. He had 5 bad games out of 14, and the numbers look a little bit rough. But when you look at the other 9, they look pretty decent. And then you go out and say, you haven't heard of anything about Noah Schultz. Motherfucker, you're lazy and not looking. Noah Schultz has 17 strikeouts in 2 walks in his first two starts. He looks fantastic for a 20-year-old going up against 23-year-olds. Anthony, what are you doing here? And then he brings up Nick Nastrini. Can't say his name right. Like, I get the frustration. You look, since 2018, there haven't been a lot of players that have made contributions to the White Sox. The only ones that have made major contributions, or contributions that you can actually quantify, are Andrew Vaughn, Nick Madrigal, and Garrett Crochet. But outside of that, it's like Sammy Peralta. It's Declan Cronin. It's a bunch of guys that actually never made true contributions to the team. It's Davis Martin, but Davis Martin's getting 4 starts before he gets hurt. Like, AJ, you are the most listened to White Sox voice in media right now. And if you're just going to lazily throw out that Colson Montgomery and Noah Schultz are struggling, you're just lying to fans. And I think that's really difficult and, you know, tough to watch, because what the fuck have those guys done? Them being drafted by Chris Getz is not their fault, or Mike Shirley and whatever. Like, them being drafted by the White Sox organization is not their fault. And I don't get why you're bagging them and portraying a false narrative about how they're doing. Noah Schultz and Colson Montgomery are fine. They are fine, and they look like the number one and number two prospects in a fairly strong prospect pool. I know you heard that before, but it's a lot deeper than what it used to be. It's not 11 of the top 100 guys and then just bums after that. It's not 12 through 30 are bums. 1 through 30 are pretty decent, and there's some guys that are at 31 and 32 that are making noise for the White Sox. Go look at AA Birmingham. They are a really good baseball team. The Charlotte Knights have some really fucked up numbers because they went up against the Norfolk Tide, who are basically a Major League Baseball team. The White Sox minor league systems right now in 2024 look promising. Everything else before then look horrible, and you're fine to bag on them for that. But Colson Montgomery and Noah Schultz are not a part of that narrative.
So in your estimation, you think AJ's trying to get a pound of flesh against Chris Getz, because I don't know if that is the true thing. I mean, he's announced that he's no longer a White Sox ambassador. So I would, yes, think that something happened between him and Chris Getz, because they had a interview a couple weeks ago where pretty much AJ pretty much called him out and said, you're saying the same stuff that Rick said. And what are you know, how are you going to make these fans really happy? And maybe after that, they had a come to Jesus moment. It's like, hey, man, that's enough from you.
And I don't understand why I'm getting called a Chris Getz burner for saying that Noah Schultz and Colson Montgomery aren't that bad. It just seems like AJ's got some beef with Chris Getz. Seems like Chris Getz doesn't want AJ Pierzynski around and having access to the White Sox. And I don't think that, you know, I mean, are they even bringing out the old stars if there's no point to?
I mean,
maybe AJ does a Fox game, but the White Sox aren't going to be on Fox.
I mean, next year they're going to have to bring AJ back because it's the 20th anniversary of the 2005 season. So they're going to have to mend some fences somehow in some way because he's coming back to the team next year to celebrate that all year long. Because there ain't going to be no celebrating on the field next year.
I'm fine. I'm glad that they're going to be celebrating the 2005 team, as they should be. That's the greatest moment of my life. I got no issues with it. It's just, AJ, if you're going to be talking, I mean, it's either him or Ozzy that it's the most important White Sox voice in media. So, I mean, I don't know. If you're going to be that demonstrative, AJ, just get it right.
As you said, I think that he gets probably the most audience because he's a former player recently, and he also has a podcast. Ozzy just does the post game, which White Sox fans watch, but no one else watches. At least AJ's no, what is it, fair territory, foul territory? That gets a lot of viewers, lot of eyes on it.
Here are the White Sox players to make their MLB debut with the Sox since 2018. So drafted by the team and then made their debut with the Sox in MLB. There are some players that made their major league debut, but just not with the Sox, like Connor Pilkington, Steele Walker. But you got, since 2018, Madrigal, Stever, Hoyer, Sousa, Bennett Sousa, Romy Gonzalez, Davis Martin, Lame Ramsey, Andrew Vaughn, Sammy Peralta, Declan Cronin, and Garrett Crochet. Oof. I mean, that's your biggest issue. I mean, there's like 20-plus rounds.
Except for Crochet. And all Ooh, that's rough.
But even Crochet, I mean, has he pitched 100 innings in a White Sox uniform?
Hasn't.
Like,
no.
I mean, that's the issue. And, like, you don't have to be wrong about Vaughn. Like, that's the guys you should be bringing up, the guys that have had 3 years. Like, those are the issues. Those are the guys that they haven't developed, are the people that, you know, have actually played Major League Baseball or have a chance to play, like, 5 years of Minor League Baseball. Montgomery and Schultz shouldn't be lumped in there.
Whatever. No, and also Montgomery is, like, what, 3 years younger than the average age of the AAA players?
Yes.
So, yeah, he struggling is not the same when you're at AAA as a 21, 22-year-old player just adjusting to baseball and adjusting to people who are older than you. Like, he'll be fine. I guarantee at the end of the year, the numbers will look respectable for Colston Montgomery. I don't think anybody at the White Sox is worried about Colston Montgomery.
No. Colston Montgomery in those five games from April 5th to April 10th, batting 200, on-base percentage of 304, slugging 250, one double, no homers, 11 Ks, two walks. That's pretty ugly.
I like to be on base 100% points more than you're actually hitting, so
yeah,
that's fine with me.
And then in the other nine games, 293, 395,
Baby.
488, two doubles, two homers, five walks, 14 Ks, three stolen bases. So, I don't know.
I'm in.
Go watch the clip if you want. Anyways, that's going to do it for the AJ rants, and we are close to a break, so why don't we take it? Are we going to be talking about the greatest beer ever? Weinerkugel?
Oh, man, goodness. Sean, when I think about summer, nothing says summer more to me than hanging out with your people either at a cookout or guaranteed rape field and drinking some summer shandy from Weinerkugel. And I know you're saying, Herb, I know the summer's going on right now, but does Weinerkugel have a full roster of beers that I can enjoy year-round? Glad you asked, and they do. They have the original lager, light lager, lakeside cherry, juicy peach, berry weiss, Northwoods amber, dark lager, and so many more, including honey weiss, which is made with real Wisconsin honey, so you know it's good. And I've tried any and all of their beers, so you know when you drink a Weinerkugel, they bring the flavor for every occasion that you're celebrating. For over 150 years, Weinerkugel has combined German brewing traditions with Wisconsin innovation. And you don't have to just pick one. Weinerkugel's popular variety packs come in four flavors for you to try and enjoy. Flavor life's simple moments with Weinerkugels, the official craft beer of the Chicago White Sox. Go to leinie.com/CHGO to find delivery options near you. That's leinie.com/CHGO or pick up Weinerkugels anywhere they sell beer. Flavor the moment. Celebrate responsibly. The Jacob Leinenkugel Brewing Company, Chippewa Falls.
Yes.
Mercy.
And we also want to let you know about our friends over at CD1 Price Cleaners. CD1, what makes them different is their low prices. Customers save over 30% on their dry cleaning bill by switching to CD1 Price Cleaners. And they have a simple and transparent service. Again, they have one price for every single garment. They charge one low price for any garment, the same low price. Other cleaners charge a different price for each garment type. Plus, they have upcharges, and you may pay a different price each time you visit at at CD1 Price Cleaners, you are dealing with one price, folks, and they'll text you when your order is ready for pickup, and they'll have that order ready either the same or next day. Other cleaners take 2 to 4 days to clean your garments, and they offer a wide variety of services like dry cleaning. They'll wash and fold your laundry. They'll wash those pesky blankets and comforters. Who knows how to wash leather and area rugs? CD1 Price Cleaner Dugs. And they'll one also price. Tailor and alter your clothing. It's one price. One price, folks. It's CD1
Price
Cleaners. visit chgo.cdone.com. That's chgo.cdone.com. The link is in the description. And once you're there, you can choose from an in-store coupon or online pickup and delivery coupon options. And Grumpy Pig is continuing to be grumpy and mentions, we've heard the strong miner. Hey, Joey, can you scroll up in the chat real quick? Grumpy Pig is saying, we've heard the strong miners bullshit before, Sean. Same incompetent people running it. It's just more injury-prone underachievers waiting for the call-up. And again, I am clear of that. Chris Getz wasn't the right call. My point is, what the hell do Colson Montgomery and Noah Schultz have to do with the past? Noah Schultz is 20. You're already writing him off? Like, I get it. Like, you are frustrated with the White Sox organization. No one's saying that you shouldn't. But pick on the people that have been there. The people that have gone and done it. Like, I don't get why Noah Schultz and Colson Montgomery are catching strays for just trying to live out their major league dreams. What, are we going to bag Nick Nastrini because the White Sox lost 2-0? Because he went out in 5 innings in his major league debut and pitched fine? Like, I want the White Sox players that they're calling up to be good. Yep. I understand that the guys have been injured in the past. That's the past. And I understand that Aloy and Yoan Moncada and Luis Robert Jr. keep getting injured. Okay, that's fine. But hopefully they're doing something to change it. I'm not saying they have. I'm just saying the first two of their last three first-round draft picks look promising. The first overall picks, right? And the three that I brought up, Vaughn, Crochet, Madrigal, all first-round draft picks. Okay, so it does seem like Colson Montgomery and Noah Schultz will make major league contributions for the White Sox. And I am excited because I don't know what the fuck they're going to look like because they haven't put on a White Sox jersey. Is that so wrong? Am I carrying water for that? Whatever.
No, you're not carrying water. Whatever. I think you're speaking truth, and you spoke truth to what AJ said. You don't like misinformation being spread around the internet, and people are going to believe AJ because he's a former player that has been doing this media thing for a while now. They probably think he's very credible, but what he just said, as you said, you talked about, Noah Schultz isn't struggling at all, and I would say Colson Montgomery isn't struggling either, so it's good that you correct the record. Somebody has to.
And someone said, nitpicking on AJ rant on his rant against the Sox development system over the years is interesting. He didn't do it over the years. He did it since 2021, and two of the three players he picked are weak. So whatever. Let's go out to Guaranteed Right Field. Hi, Vinny. You're joining a very normal and very sane CHGO White Sox postgame show. How you doing?
Oh, boy. That's quite the warning.
Oh, yeah. Vinny Duber. You can follow him at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. We got a lot to talk to him. We haven't talked much about Nick Nastrini, so why not get into the man who made his major league debut tonight? I know you chatted with Nastrini postgame. What was the biggest sense that you took away or the biggest thing that you took away from Nick postgame?
Well, I think echoes of what he said during the offseason, even dating back to last season when he joined the organization and was telling folks down in Birmingham and Charlotte, that he was going to be joining this rotation at some point this season. I mean, he was a confident guy then. He was a confident guy in the offseason. And I think the thing that stood out today was kind of how he looked the part of a major leaguer, right? I mean, he talked about how exciting it was, how I think he used the phrase out-of-body experience to describe pitching in the big leagues for the first time. But this is a guy who, when you watched him pitch, when you watched him on the mound, he was in control. And he was a guy who looked mature out there. Pedro talked about seeing him throw a bullpen here at the ballpark back at the end of January when some of the folks were here for that thing they had at the Field Museum with the season ticket holders. And he said he looked like he's supposed to look. He looked like one of the good ones look. And I think that really makes a lot of sense with what we saw tonight. It looked like certainly during spring training, Nastrini was ready for this opportunity with the success that he was having out in Arizona. And now you put him here in the regular season and the moment is not too big for him. Obviously a few extra feet, on that Bobby Witt Jr. fly ball there in the fifth inning. And we could be talking about a different story, but man, he did a good job. Two runs in 5 innings. The Royals only had 4 hits all day. He did a very good good job against a team that's swinging very well, and really looked like he could provide something for this White Sox team. Obviously not now. We're talking about a 2-14 team, but in the future, which is why they got this kid in the first place.
In the pregame, I talked about I thought that Nick would be too jacked up. He is on 6 days rest from his last start that he made versus the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, I think they're called. And so I thought, you know, the arm is going to be lively, and also it's major league debut, so it's time to throw extra hard. I didn't see that at all today. I saw a calm, composed guy that went on in there and got the job done. We were talking yesterday where Michael Soroka kind of was overthrowing the ball, trying to make every pitch a strikeout pitch. What went into that? What did Nick Nastrina say that contributed to his good outing where he pretty much looked the part? He looked like he belonged from pitch one.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, you hear from these pitchers and they talk about how things do differ from start to start in terms of their stuff, their location, you know, how you kind of got to get that NBA Live crosshairs to match up kind of thing sometimes. But I think if you're talking, Herb, the question you just asked, what went into him being so good tonight, him being like that tonight? I think that's how he is. And it certainly seems that his personality is one that is going to make him effective at this level. Obviously, we got to see how things go. This is just the first five innings he's ever thrown as a big leaguer. But, you know, you talk about guys who are far more experienced than he is, looking a little rattled out there, looking like, you know, things can really kind of overwhelm them and unravel on them in a hurry. And we had a guy with the bases loaded tonight, you know, in a close game who got out of it. And I think for a guy who's getting his very first taste of the big leagues, you can kind of tell that personality maybe settled him down. And they've got somebody who, you know, again, we'll see what happens, but they've got somebody here who maybe doesn't need to be on rattle watch or unravel watch.
And we have a Nick Nastrini video from the locker room. So let's go to some Nick Nastrini video, and then we'll chat a little bit more about Nastrini and the other events from today.
I mean, the first couple of innings, I mean, it was an out-of-body experience. It was everything I hoped it could be, so it was fun. I mean, that's all I can really say about it. I don't really have a whole lot of words.
It's a little bit quiet, so Joey's going to boost the audio, and then we're going to go back to Nick Nastrini so you can, what I think is probably important, hear him. So we'll go back to Nastrini. You did talk about his mile per hour, though, Herb. He did start off at 95, and I don't know if that's jitters or not, but then you saw in the fifth inning down to 92 after being at 95 early, and that's when we saw him get into trouble. There was the first walk to Adam Frazier, mm-hmm. Then he had a pitch clock violation, then Ezbel hit a RBI single with two outs, and then he was around 63 pitches, then walked Garcia, and then loaded the bases with Bobby Witt Jr., and Bobby Witt Jr. hit one almost out, needed just a little bit more juice to hit a grand slam off Witt, and he ended with 74 pitches. I think it was a promising start, and, I mean, it seems like he's going to be a player with a ton of rope, Vinny, right?
We'll see. I mean, I would think so. Listen, I don't think you call up a guy and add him to the 40-man roster like this to send him back down because he made a spot start on a day when you maybe were going to do a bullpen day. Otherwise, I think that's a little weird, and I think it's even too weird to talk about with a team that, you know, we have had a lot of weird experiences with over the last couple of years. But I think he's going to stick around. But very non-committal was his manager in terms of what his future is, in terms of what the future for the guy who's going to be making his big league debut tomorrow, Jonathan Cannon, what the future is there. So we don't really have a ton of answers, and I'm sure we'll get into this a little more later on, but we don't have really a ton of answers in terms of what this rotation is going to look like moving forward. I would have to imagine that Nick Nastrini earned a second major league start at the bare minimum with what he was able to do tonight. That being said, I can't sit here and tell you, oh, he's going to pitch on day X next, and he's going to be in the rotation for the next, 5 months. I can't tell you that because the White Sox did not tell us that today.
And I know we're waiting for some audio to come in, but I was wondering, like, when I saw all the transactions that were made today, just like, what went into it? Did Pedro speak either pregame or postgame about what went into all the five, I think, transactions that were made today, with Nastrini being one of them and a couple of people like Max Stassi being extended to the 60-day IL?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, Eloy Jimenez came off the IL today. Nick Nastrini had to be called up and added to the 40-man roster, so they needed to clear a spot on both the active and the 40-man. So not surprising to see a guy like Justin Anderson and a guy like Zach Remillard go down with what you know, with the guys who were being added to the active roster. Max Stassi, I don't know if I mentioned it you know, the other day, but I did ask Chris Getz about him on Friday. He got hit in the hand while catching with a backswing. And so I believe that has added to his injury woes here in the early going. And so he is now not going to be back anytime sooner than the end of May with him going on the 60-day injured list today.
And that is retroactive. I did have somebody ask if that's now a new 60 days or not. So that it still includes the days that he has already served on the 10-day IL. All right, let's now hear from Nick Nastrini after his Major League debut.
Easy generic open. How did it feel to, you know, from that first pitch to the whatever it was, 70 seconds, 75? I mean, the first couple of innings, I mean, it was an out of body experience. It was everything I hoped it to be. So it was fun. I mean, that's all I can really say about it. I don't really have a whole lot of words to describe it because there's not really words I can use to describe it. That's how fun it was. I had a great time out there, and yeah.
What did it mean to have your parents, your brother and sister, you know, a bunch of friends here too, yeah, to see the opener?
It meant everything to me. Like, my buddy Noah out there, like, I play catch with him every day during the off season. My brother Jake, like, he catches my bullpens. It makes me a little emotional talking about it. He catches my bullpens with no gear on. He's out there, like, taking spike sliders to the shins for me during COVID and times after that too. So having my dad, my mom, my sister here, I mean, they're my biggest support system. My friends and family mean the absolute world to me. So it meant a lot to have them out there.
How did you find out that you're getting the call up to the majors?
So it was yesterday morning. I was supposed to pitch in Jacksonville, and our manager in AAA came and knocked on our my hotel door at like 9:15. He was like, "You have 15 minutes to get downstairs. The club is taking you to the airport. You're pitching in Chicago tomorrow." So just beeline downstairs to the Valley area, and the next thing I know, I'm here yesterday. So it was a quick turnaround, I'll say that.
You had some success. What do you think, how do you think it went from a pitching standpoint tonight?
I think it went pretty good. I mean, I obviously made a couple of mistakes. I pulled a fastball in. I mean, when you pull a fastball in to a good left-handed hitter like that, he's going to do damage. So, but for the most part, I think I executed my game plan really well, and I was able to, you know, use my fastball the way I wanted to. I was able to use my off-speed and counts that I really, really like too. So I think for the most part, I did pretty good.
Had a good feel for the changeup.
Oh yeah, I mean, whenever I feel for that pitch, it makes pitching a whole lot easier. So yeah, I had a good feel. I was able to throw to righties and lefties, able to strike Bobby out on that. It wasn't really where I wanted it to go. It was elevated, but I mean, yeah, that was sweet.
Were you surprised to be out there for a third time to face him with, obviously, you know, game on the line situation at that point?
No, I mean, I think for me that means a lot, because it means the coaching staff has a lot of trust in me to go out there and get him out the third time. So I that means a lot to me to be able to stay in the game like that, especially with bases loaded. And could have gone south, but they trusted me out there, and that gave me a whole lot of confidence to make some pitches.
What has the coaching staff front office kind of told you about what's next? What's the plan for what you do from here?
Couldn't tell you. I have not heard anything, so I guess we'll find out.
You feel good, and I know you had the pneumonia situation at the end of spring training, but everything's healthy and good right now.
Yeah, that was a wild experience, I'll tell you that. I would never recommend getting that because it's not very fun. But yeah, had pneumonia, but I'm all good now, so just continue to grind away.
Has it been a process of kind of getting your strength back or getting the feel back on the mound after sitting out? So?
Yeah, a little bit. I didn't take any days off throwing, so it wasn't like I needed to gain feel back or ramp back up or anything like that. It was more so just making sure that I could breathe. So I feel really good right now. I felt like I was really strong out there. My last start in Jacksonville on Tuesday, I felt really strong, so I was very optimistic with that.
You being here, Jordan being here, Jonathan pitching tomorrow, I mean, what does it kind of say about what's coming for this team?
I just think it shows that they trust the guys that we have down in the minors. I mean, there's a lot of really good players down there, and they are gritty. They're guys that can get the job done. So I mean, it's good to see that they trust the guys that are down there.
Jordan was saying it was kind of fun to have your first strikeout come on a right changeup. Mm-hmm. With how big a pitch of it is for you, was that kind of key? Like, all right, this might go all right tonight.
Yeah, I mean, when I feel for that pitch, it, like I said, it makes pitching a whole lot easier. So getting the first strikeout on the right-hand run changeup was pretty cool. Wasn't exactly what I imagined it to be on, and maybe like a fastball or something like that. But yeah, it was cool to get it on a right-hand run change.
And we are back. That was Nick Nastrini after his major league debut. He went 5 innings. I think that the biggest thing is just what's next, and it doesn't seem like there is truly an answer, as you know, Nick Nastrini said right there. Jonathan Cannon's going to be a part of the 26-man roster, but it also doesn't seem clear what the corresponding 40-man move will be. So, Vinny, I know you'd be speculating because there wasn't a real direct answer from Pedro, was there?
No, there wasn't. But again, I think, you know, you talk about what makes sense. And bringing these guys up for spot starts, you know, making all these 40-man roster moves, that does not make sense, you know, if it's going to be such a short stay. So I think that these guys will be here, particularly if they continue to pitch well, right? I mean, I think, you know, that obviously is part of it. But Nastrini did pitch well tonight. We'll see what we see from Jonathan Cannon tomorrow. Pedro was asked about Chris Flexen and said that he will be pitching out of the bullpen, but he is still a starter. So that was a little kind of could go both ways, I guess. He said basically, yeah, he's still a starter, but at some point between now and his next start, we could expect to see him pitch out of the bullpen. So maybe his next start won't be for some time. But again, I think that's all going to be to be determined. But listen, I mean, this year is a rebuilding year. This year is about finding out what the White Sox have. In my opinion, and I think in a lot of folks' opinion, it's a much more valuable learning tool to be giving those innings and those opportunities to guys who could be a part of this in the long term than guys who are not only not part of this in the long term, but also struggling on top of it, right? I mean, if the idea is these guys are here to, you know, maybe try to inject a little bit of winning and try to help build an identity here, sure, but they got to do the job, right? And so far, Chris Flexen, as we've seen, even though they signed him to a major league contract in the offseason, not doing the job. Michael Soroka, not really doing the job right now. And so are these the guys that are going to be part of this long-term plan? Or is it more important to get Nick Nastrini innings, more important to get Jonathan Cannon innings, and see what you can learn, see what you can find out about these guys and where your team is? So when October and November roll around, Chris Getz and the front office are able to make more informed decisions about what they do moving forward. It's part of the reason, right, that we talked about why the Mike Clevenger move didn't make too much sense. In my opinion, I could say the same thing about this reported minor league deal for Tommy Pham, right? I mean, you've got young guys. What is the benefit of bringing in a veteran to take away playing time from young guys in those positions? So we'll see how it all plays out. But I think right now, Nick Nastrini showed that he deserves, again, at least a second major league start after what he was able to do tonight.
Joey, do we have any breaking news sounders? Do we have anything funny that would make a funny noise? All right. Breaking for Ken Rosenthal at 9:50. Tommy Pham minor league deal with White Sox is complete. He will earn $3 million in the majors with $1.5 million in incentives. And here's the important part. Must be added to roster by April 25th or can request his release. Also will receive $500K if tweeted. That's from Ken Rosenthal.
If traded.
Yeah, if
he doesn't
traded.
Get $500K if he's tweeted.
Did I say tweeted?
You said
you did.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I guess he just got 500K because the news was just tweeted. Traded, my bad. So let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, what is the White Sox vision for this offense? Is it just finding anybody who can hit because they can't hit? I mean, since April 8th, I think the broadcast said it when Gavin Sheets was up, since April 6th in the last 8 games, they have one home run from Gavin Sheets. 60 players in Major League Baseball have 2 homers in that span. Is Tommy Pham here to maybe hit a dinger or two?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, you could say that, and you could point to that being a bit of a positive, a bit of a benefit, right? Because, I mean, this team is really just doing nothing offensively on a nightly basis. And I don't think that anyone would expect it to be this bad over the course of the next 5.5 months. But it is really, really bad right now. And, you know, the idea that you're going to be able to create a clubhouse culture and create an identity for this team when you're not getting any hits at all is going to be a pretty challenging one. So if you were to ask me, could I find any sort of baseball reason for why Tommy Pham would be coming to this team? It's that, hey, he was pretty good last year, and he had some good moments with the Arizona Diamondbacks in the playoffs and got that team. I believe he was a middle-of-the-order hitter for a World Series team. That's nothing to sneeze at, right? But, I mean, the idea that he could be helpful to this lineup, I don't think is a question at all. Of course he could be helpful to this lineup. We've all watched this lineup play. But I go back to what I just said a little bit ago, which is, what does he do for you in 2025? What does he do for you in 2026? Playing Dominic Fletcher now, playing Oscar Colas now, could do something for you in 2025. And I guess, you know, I'm not expecting fans to sit here and, you know, go nuts at the idea of watching 5 more months of Fletcher and Colas out there, because to this point, neither of those players have really given anybody a reason to be excited either. So it's very much the same questions that I had about the Mike Clevinger signing. And it very much seems like the best case scenario here is they can get a prospect for this guy at the trade deadline.
I know that Pedro and the White Sox are coy about what they was discussed in the team meeting today. I'm firstly don't know why it's so damn, you know, industry secret that they have to be quiet about a team that's won 2 games out of 16, but you know, that's different from me.
Team meeting, go out there and score no runs.
Yeah, it worked so well. But like, I know Pedro's going to be sullen after another loss, the fifth in a row. But have you seen any change in demeanor from Pedro in these post-game interviews after each loss keeps on adding up, Vinny?
Well, I mean, I think, let's put it this way. I think he gets as sick of making the explanations that he makes as people get of hearing them, if that makes sense. Right after the game today, he was asked, you know, another question about, I believe the question was specifically about Andrew Vaughn, but he decided to talk about the team in general and basically said, hey, we can't talk about them trying to do too much and pressing every day. We just can't do it. I mean, it's, you know what I mean? Like he said, it might be true, but we can't talk about this every day. We got to start executing. And that's the bottom line. This, they need to hit. They're Major League Baseball players. They are here for a reason. They need to hit the ball. And I think he knows that. He obviously isn't going to say that quite as bluntly as I just did. But when he uses the word execute, that's what he means. And the idea that he has to go up there every day and keep giving basically the same answer, because the answer's not changing, right? I mean, I think that bugs him and bothers him as much as it does folks to hear him say it over and over again. And there was a similar, you know, experience last year in dealing with him on a regular basis when they were losing and losing and losing. And he, again, you know, got to that point where he's like, people don't care. People don't want to hear it, you know, and you know, he's right. So I think it's probably, obviously he wants to win these games and it's bothering him that they're not winning the games. But in terms of what he's talking with us about, he doesn't want to keep doing these exact same questions every night either, because he's as sick of it as you guys are of hearing it. Tony La Russa used to say something which is, you know, explanation. I could give you an explanation, but to everybody else, it's just going to sound like an excuse. And I think there's some truth to that in that job specifically. And Pedro is, you know, offering explanations that I think a lot of people are reading as excuses. And I don't think anybody wants to hear it, himself included, at this point.
Just a not so fun fact that I tweeted out last night. Tommy Pham, newly acquired Tommy Pham, victim of stabbing twice.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's one to rack them up.
One by a stepfather and the other one by a person at a strip club in San Diego.
Jesus. Yeah, and I understand that Tommy Pham's here to be traded, but also, as I brought up on the pregame show, you look at him from July to the end of the year, and he looked like a White Sox with like a 203 batting average, a 312 on base, and a 400 slugging. I mean, it might actually be an upgrade for the White Sox outfield, because I don't think anyone's hitting over 200. But also, I mean, you look at a player who's... Oh, is he?
Yeah.
You see a player who's 36 years old, usually bat speed declines with that. And he did have a good World Series, but this is a player playing in his first World Series. I don't think it's really surprising that Pham at 36 is going to relish in that opportunity and not, you know, make any mistakes. It seemed like his body was tired at the end of the year. It seemed like he had one last gasp for the World Series, and we'll see if he's even tradable. Hopefully he is, but I don't know. All right. We know one player is back on the White Sox, and that's Eloy Jimenez. What are they doing here? I thought he was going to go on a rehab assignment. Here he is. His rehab assignment is coming up in the bottom of the ninth in a 2-0 game with the game, him being the game tying run. And, you know, he has to go up there and take four pitches and get struck out. I mean, what is the plan here for Eloy Jimenez?
I mean, it seems the plan is that he's going to be in the lineup tomorrow, but I guess it's a good question as to why he wasn't in the lineup today, because he was active. And we know how badly this team needs offense. The best way I can answer that question after listening to Pedro pregame is that it just kind of sounds like they wanted to ease him in as he's coming back. I guess that's, you know, usually what a rehab assignment is for, but they said that they considered doing a rehab assignment. And after he took the live batting practice that he did on Saturday, they deemed that he looked good enough to come back today. But it's a good question. And Deloy didn't really know either, as I'm sure you guys saw when you played that video of him during the pregame show. He was like, yeah, why aren't I playing? That's a great question. I'm here, kind of thing. So I don't know. I don't have much for you there. This is kind of a strange situation. But he's back, and Pedro did what he said, which was that he was going to pinch hit him late in the game, and he did pinch hit late in the game, but he struck out.
Six people watching. Make sure you hit that like button. We're at 44 likes, so I believe they call it a like surge on the Bears show. Hit that like button.
Like spike.
Like spike if you haven't liked it yet. Hit that like button. Did you feel like Eloy's demeanor was a little bit weird? We played a minute clip where you ask him, hey, are you 100%? And he's like, I wouldn't put a number on it. And then James also asked him a question about running fully, and he was like, I can't really give you a concrete answer. Did he seem... not wishy-washy in his responses, but did he not seem confident in his health status to you?
I don't know. I think he seemed like he always does. But again, this is a guy who is always kind of talking about this kind of thing. So it's weird with him, right? Because he's a guy who very clearly over the last several years affected by injuries. And I mean that not, oh, he went on the IL with all the injuries. I mean that when he has played, he has clearly been affected. And, you know, even last year when he played all those games, we saw him affected with his legs and his running and what he was able to do. So he's a guy who has a lot of experience hearing from the training staff about what shape his legs are in, and experience then going the other way, having to tell the training staff constantly what shape his legs are in and how he feels. So I do think he... is telling the truth, and he is, you know, he is the kind of guy who does want to go 100% when, you know, he wants to hustle, he wants to do that kind of thing. We saw, you know, my mind goes back to 2020 rather, when you know, he's injured running the bases late in the year in Cleveland, but then he really wants to play in the playoffs. He gets into the third playoff game in that game against the A's. He hits a double and makes it to second. And because he ran so hard to second, that was basically all that he had in the tank. And he had to come out of that game too. So I think he's a guy who wants to do that, but his body has not allowed him to do it so often. And I don't think he's necessarily learned how to kind of find the happy medium, if that makes sense. You know, his brain wants him to do one thing. His body is letting him do another thing. And I just don't think he's quite settled on what the actual thing he should be doing is to please both parties, so to speak. So we'll see the next time he has to run to first base after hitting a ball, what that looks like. And you know, it'll be interesting to see if this is going to be another year or just another stretch of a year, right, where he's again kind of hampered in some way with what he's able to do on the field in total, not just at the plate.
Let's get to some of the positives there. And we already talked about Nastrini going perfect 3 2/3 until that Pasquatch home run. And then he gave up the ball after the fifth inning with the bases loaded, and he got a flyout from Bobby Witt Jr. Then you get 4 innings of shutout baseball from this bullpen, that is much maligned bullpen of the White Sox, including a shutout inning by Michael Kopech. Did Pedro have to speak about what his bullpen's been doing as late? Because Leisure looked great. Stephen Wilson a little shaky with the 2 walks, but he's got a sub-2 ERA, and Michael Kopech was blown by the Royals hitters all night long.
Yeah, I mean, he was obviously very happy with the performance, and I think anybody who was wanting the White Sox to win that game saw a bullpen that kept the team in the game till the last minute. I mean, there's a reason that there was a little bit, even if, you know, maybe not as much as there would be under in a season where the win-loss record's a little different, but there was a little bit of drama when Aloy stepped to the plate, right? Because you're like, oh, maybe this is, you know, this game is close enough that it could go a different direction. And the bullpen had a lot to do with that, because this is a Royals team that's been hitting well. It's a Royals team that hit this White Sox team well just a little over a week ago. For that bullpen to do that, and listen, he used his 3 guys tonight, right? I mean, those are the 3 guys that have been pitching at the back end of games, pitching at the back end of close games, and doing it successfully in Kopech, Leisure, and Wilson, and they all continued to do well. I mean, Jordan Leisure, I don't believe, has given up a run yet this year. And obviously Michael Kopech has looked very impressive as well. So when those 3 guys are able to go out there in a string, you're getting a little glimpse of what it's supposed to look like, right? It's just that the offense is not helping and not doing anything close to its part to give those guys a lead to protect, to give those guys a chance to get the game to the end, right? Because they're pitching. He's throwing his 3 best relievers out there in a row tonight, all from behind. And that's not the way that you usually want to do that, but that's how it's supposed to look if the score was different, right?
Obviously, we know the fourth guy, if it was a lead, would obviously be Davey, the unspoken fourth guy. As the conductor, I got to blow his horn. Anyways, anything else, Herb, that you want to bring up?
No.
Okay. Question, did I win click to pick?
Oh, well, Joey, no. They didn't score any runs.
You don't score any runs, there's no one
winner. It's not
like
who you got.
No, you're new here, baby. They got shut out for the 6th time, so that means
if it was anybody, it was good. It'd be this guy with his Benintendi.
Come on, what about Schoenmacher? He was good tonight.
Schoenmacher.
Who did I pick?
Braden Shoemaker.
No, why'd you give it to him? I would have just sat here until Joey got Braden Shoemaker.
I called him Brandon Shoemaker earlier.
In our Discord, we did have Kevin Lamar say there should be a promo because there was the 415 tickets for tax day on April 15th. The promotion, we don't score, you don't pay. I don't think that's a bad idea. I mean, hey, maybe you get more people into the ballpark.
And the Royals closer, his ERA, 415.
And his saves, he's 3-for-3, all against the White Sox. So that's fun.
James MacArthur loves the White Sox. Yes. Loves Chicago.
Final thing I had.
And being a president, too.
Make sure you check out Vinny's work at allchgo.com and follow him at Vinny Duber on Twitter. Nick Nastrini, at least from the Stuff Plus guy that I follow, Thomas Nastico, you can follow him at TJ Stats. Four-seam for Nick Nastrini was 111 on the Stuff Plus. That's usually 100 is average. The changeup was at 99, and the slider was at 99. So you got 1 plus pitch in the four-seam and then 2 average pitches in the changeup and slider, but he was able to control it well. Not the best called strike plus whiff percentage. It was around 27. Average for a major league starter is 30. But if he didn't get into the trouble in the 5th inning, I wonder what it looks like. So I'm excited to see Nastrini build. And we got another major league debut tomorrow, Jonathan Cannon. So make sure you tune in for White Sox postgame here on the CHGO Sports YouTube channel. That's Vinny Duber. Follow him at Vinny Duber. Follow the show at CHGO_White Sox. That's Herb Lawrence. You can follow him at Eckenrawl23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. And you can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson. Thank you to Joey for producing the show. Goodbye. We all silly.